And so, did you notice, this week was budget time. Here with a summary about science is Anna Maria Arabia of FASTS.
For science, the federal budget was quite unremarkable, taking a business-as-usual approach and missing an opportunity to harness the potential of science and technology as drivers of economic growth and productivity. First, the good news. Despite the threats, medical research funding has been maintained and calls to review the funding system have been heard. By the end of the next financial year, the government will have completed a review of funding schemes. Coming more than a decade after the Wills Review, this presents an important opportunity to develop a long-term and strategic approach to medical research funding and hopefully obliterate the need for an annual street parade of lab coats. Other funders of research, like the Australian Research Council and the CSIRO, have had funding retained. But the CSIRO will need to continue to do more with less. The four-year funding agreement reached with CSIRO will provide $3 billion. It was trumpeted as a record investment, but Australia really would be in a sorry state if the new quadrennial funding agreement were less than the last one. It defies logic when the government says it has been difficult to find room in a responsible budget for CSIRO's record quadrennial funding, while in the very same statement recognising that CSIRO provides a competitive advantage for more than 150 Australian companies, which are directly founded on the organisation's success. It would have been economic vandalism to not find room in the budget. Compared to the last four-year agreement, CSIRO has attracted an extra $221 million, an attractive headline in trying financial times. But this provides an average annual increase of just 1.6%, less than the rate of inflation. In the science and research sector, inflation is around 5 to 6%, so annual funding increases below this rate effectively signal a step in the wrong direction. The budget papers guarantee staffing levels will not be affected in 2011-12. Beyond that, the picture is less clear, with revenue from non-government sources needing to increase to the tune of 7.6% to keep the status quo. And while the CSIRO is doing more with less, the public's expectation is that science will deliver solutions to our biggest problems, like climate change and how we secure our food and water supply. The budget delivered a resounding call to the nation to get working and a raft of measures to help us on our way. Just last month, when launching the Research Workforce Strategy, Minister Kim Carr reminded the nation that skill shortages in research will impact on our ability to drive productivity and compete internationally. His words were echoed by Jacques Nasser, chairman of BHP Billiton, who on the eve of the budget said the resources sector is in need of more engineers and scientists to remain competitive. While the budget did not directly address these issues, it did promise a new $558 million National Workforce Development Fund aimed at addressing skills needs facing Australian industries, a measure both welcomed and necessary, albeit inconsistent with cuts to the tune of $33 million to the Cooperative Research Centre's budget. The budget also delivered on commitments to expand the number of university places according to student demand. But more must be done, and we must act now. The government's research workforce strategy eloquently outlines the problem and the vision. In short, Australia has a disproportionately high number of academics approaching retirement. We aren't training enough science students, research careers in Australia aren't as attractive as they could be, and global competition for highly skilled workers is more robust than ever. Not a moment can be wasted in finding ways to attract and retain talented people to science and maths. Starting at primary school, where the wonderment of science can and should fill every classroom. And continue through the pipeline so smart solutions are found to attract and retain highly skilled researchers in Australia. Unfortunately, the budget missed some low-hanging fruit. The gross underrepresentation of women in science is a case in point. We train women, then fail to keep them in the business because practical and equitable career pathways aren't available when it counts. When women leave the workforce, with them goes thousands of dollars of investment in their education and training. It costs more money to lose our best and brightest than to keep them. Investment in this area could have been the smartest saving the government made. Money well invested is $21 million to improve science communication through the Inspiring Australia program, honouring the government's 2010 election commitment. It is imperative that the work of scientists is shared and understood by a public thirsty for information and solutions to everyday problems. Equally important is the need to inspire our young to pursue careers in science. Perhaps this is as good as a sector can expect until the budget is in healthy surplus. However, I'd argue that investment in science is precisely what Australia needs to achieve a healthy surplus that doesn't rely on our mineral wealth.
An assessment of the budget from Anna Maria Arabia, who's the CEO of FASTS, the Federation of Australian Scientific and Technological Societies, set up after a former Minister for Science, Barry Jones, called supine Australian scientists a bunch of wimps.